الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون صدق الله العظيم All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Him only do we praise and His name do we glorify. We give thanks to Him for the boons and favors He has bestowed upon us. And for all our needs, we rely solely upon Him. And we seek His forgiveness from the mistakes of our deeds and actions. For whomsoever Allah guides, none can mislead. And whomsoever goes astray, there is no guidance for him. I bear witness to the fact that no one is worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I further bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and final messenger. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue to shower his blessings on the noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family, his companions, and all believers until the end of time. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his forgiveness on the souls of our near and dear ones who have gone to the great beyond. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to raise their souls among the righteous in the company of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Yawmul Qiyamah and allow them to receive their book of deeds in their right hand in front of them. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. By Allah's permission, we are able to be in the masjid after such a long period of time. Many of us, we waited for this day. All of us, we prayed and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with patience that He will grant us the opportunity to enter into the house of His as we so rightly deserve. But everything is in the hands of Allah. We put our trust in Him and we hope and pray inshallah that He will continue to give us guidance, that He will continue to protect us, and He will continue for us to strive in His path with ikhlas, with sincerity, and with our hearts full with iman. We praise Allah who has given us the opportunity, inshallah, to meet and greet one another after such a long period of time. And we pray and we give thanks to Allah for the opportunity He has given us, or He will give us, inshallah, to witness the coming month of Ramadan, which is just about 5 or 6 days ahead of us. But let us ponder for a moment over the grim fact that among our relatives, among members of our communities, loved ones and friends, and close acquaintances, there were many of those who celebrated the last Ramadan with us. But they are no longer here with us. They have left this worldly life and return to their Lord. And perhaps there may be some among us who may not live to witness another Ramadan. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma baligna Ramadan, Allahumma baligna Ramadan, Allahumma baligna Ramadan. The brother who is going upstairs, please come downstairs. The brother who is going upstairs, please come downstairs. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow us the opportunity to witness the coming month of Ramadan. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep us in good health and allow us the opportunity to fulfill our obligation towards Him in observing the fast of the month of Ramadan. But death is unavoidable. Death is inevitable. It is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that time is decreed and decreed only by our Creator Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And indeed, time is fleeting. Time is fleeting, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Wal Asri, Inna al-insana lafi khusr, illa alladhina amanu wa amilu s-salihati wa tawasaw bil haqqi wa tawasaw bis sabr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that by time, by every fleeting day, by every day that Allah has given us permission to be alive, men like you and I is in a state of loss. We are in a state of loss because the iman in our hearts is not full. It is not 100%. We take life for granted. Sometimes we do and sometimes we don't. And then there is a time that comes when we want to turn to Allah with sincerity, when we really want to turn to Allah to get His blessings and to get His favors and His mercies, and that time is cut short. So as we have the opportunity now, as Allah has blessed us with health and strength, and Allah has filled our hearts with iman, a gift that you and I cannot deny, and we should be proud of this, that Allah has blessed us to be among the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to be in his company and never ever procrastinate about how to live our lives in accordance with the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ramadan is this opportunity, or Ramadan gives us this opportunity to reconnect with our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us seize the opportunity to make the most out of this Ramadan. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless each and every one of us, and bless our families, and bless our Muslim brothers and sisters, and all of the ummah of this in this coming month of Ramadan and beyond. In His infinite wisdom, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made certain times, certain people, certain places, and certain objects more holy and blessed than others. The prophets and messengers of Allah are the best of human beings. The book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the loftiest and profoundest of all books. The city of Mecca is the holiest city in the world. The day of Jumma, Friday, this day, is the most honored day of the week. The 2 days of Eid, Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha, are the most blessed day to rejoice and celebrate. Likewise, the month of Ramadan is the most precious of all months in multiple ways. The month of Ramadan is the most precious of all months in multiple ways in terms of the Quran being revealed in this month. in terms of fasting ordained in it by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in terms of multiplication of rewards for good deeds, and in terms of getting closer to our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Moreover, it is the only month that has been mentioned in the Quran by name. It is the only month of the year that has been mentioned in the Quran by name. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, the month of Ramadan is the month when the Quran was sent down. Guidance to mankind with clear proofs of guidance and the criterion. And what makes this month so special, brothers? It is a month of infinite blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a month of patience. It is a month of generosity and charity. Most importantly, it is the month in which the Quran was revealed. So Ramadan gives us the opportunity to reconnect with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For those of us who may have placed the Quran in the bookshelves over the last Ramadan and have never taken it out, and now we are starting to take it and dust it to reconnect with it. When the month of Ramadan has left us, let us continue to use the Quran as our guide. In the month in which the Quran was revealed. Hence, this is the month to rediscover the Quran, in which the guidance to mankind and the criterion which clearly distinguishes between right and wrong, between good and evil, and between truth and falsehood. When we read the Quran and we ponder over the verses of the Quran, the heart becomes humble. There is a different feeling when you read the Quran and you read it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You read it so that you can get some inspiration. It's not that you just take the Quran and read and continue reading and you don't get no inspiration. But it must fill our hearts with tears of joy, reminding ourselves that this guidance is a guidance in this life and it is a guidance for us in the life hereafter. The purpose and timing of the revelation pertaining to fasting has to be understood in the backdrop of difficult situations. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to encounter at Mecca before their migration to Medina. These, among others, included oppression, persecution, starvation, social and economic boycott, living in a climate of fear. Like now, many of us, we have the blessings and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we are living in a climate of fear. We really don't fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we fear COVID. Isn't that a sense of insanity? Isn't that a sense of ingratitude? That we should have fear of Allah in our hearts? That whatever Allah has decreed for us is that which what we will have in our lives? But we fear COVID. It is unsafe. We have been in lockdown for a whole year. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us to come into the homes that we have built, to come into the home that we have struggled for, and by His permission and His permission only. So let us not waste time, brothers and brothers. Let us not waste valuable times. Ramadan is a month, or the Shaban is the month that precedes Ramadan. In this month of Shaban, we have a couple more days left in this month of Shaban. It is a time for us to settle our indifferences. So that when Ramadan comes, our hearts become pure. There is love and affection in our hearts. Let us not wait and we enter into Ramadan with hate and animosity in our hearts. Read through the lives of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and read through the biography or the seerah of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to see the lives that they encountered, the hardship that they encountered in striving to lay this path for us to understand the way of life, al-Islam. To understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through the medium of Archangel Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam. In giving us this book, in this book in which there is no doubt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alif lam mim, zalikal kitabu la rayba fi, hudal lil muttaqin. In this book, there is no doubt. Whatever Allah has revealed in this book, we as Muslims, we as people who believe in kalima la ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, there should be no doubt in our hearts about what is revealed in the book. It is a book of guidance for those who believe in the unseen. For those of us who believe in the unseen, we haven't seen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there is hope in our hearts that on the day of Yawmul Qiyamah, we will be able to see who created us. It is a book of guidance for those who are steadfast in prayer. And not steadfast in prayer only one particular month or one particular season of the year, but throughout our lives that we are steadfast in prayer. It is a book of guidance for those who spend out of what Allah has provided us with, in the giving of charity, in the paying of our zakat. This is what this book brings to us. This is what of the words of this book brings to us. Guidance, mercy, salvation, protection. But how can we get this? We can only get it when we answer to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to testify that there is no God but Him. And there is none to be worshipped except Him. And that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and final messenger. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, and all of my ummah will enter into Jannah. If this was the final statement of this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we don't have to do anything, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us, and all of my ummah will enter into Jannah. But the hadith did not stop there. The hadith continued, and it says, except those who refuse, all of my ummah will enter into Jannah, except those who refuse. And the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they ask him, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who will refuse? Who will refuse this opportunity, this gift, to enter into the paradise that Allah has prepared for believers? And the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he replied, those who refuse are those who disobey me. Think about it. Those who refuse to enter into that paradise, into that Jannah, are those who refuse to obey me. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, if you love Allah, then follow me. If you love Allah, if you say you love Allah, follow me. How many of us sitting here today really follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in every aspect of our lives? How we treat one another, how we relate to with our families, how we treat our parents, how we do things socially, how we do things economically, how do we retire for the night when Allah has blessed us with a day full of His mercies and blessings? How we do retire for the night? There are many of us who just go in our beds. Sometimes we watch the TV, and then the TV watches us. Or we are on our phones, and then the eyes gets drowsy, turn the phones off, and we fall asleep, without thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and retiring for that day without following the prescription that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us how to retire for the day, how to go to bed. How many of us follow the system of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in relieving ourselves? How we go to the bathroom, how we get out of the bathroom, what we do when we change our clothes, how we do and what we say when we take a sip of water or we drink some tea or we have our meals. Those who refuse to obey the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they refuse to enter into the Jannah. And after the hijrah, after the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, the believers had to be made ready for further challenges. They had to be organized into a jama'ah, a party that could bravely and successfully engage with the polytheists of Mecca, who had evicted them from their houses and deprived them of their homes and belongings. Initially, brothers, fasting was introduced as a voluntary act. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كما كتب عليكم الصيام من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. Fasting was prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before you, so that you may develop taqwa, that you may develop God consciousness. So fasting was before the time of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was a voluntary act. It was not mandatory. It used to be only for a few days, which according to some scholars is a number between 3 and 9. Others have the opinion that a few days were the 3 white days, corresponding the 13th, 14th, and 15th of every month, or every lunar month. It is also narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam found that the Jews in Medina to be fasting on the 10th day of Muharram to commemorate the day of freedom from the bondage of Firaun. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then commanded the Muslims to fast on that day and another day preceding or following that day. Up to this time, fasting was sunnah and not fard or obligatory act. It was only in the second year after the Muslims migrated from Mecca to Medina that the ayah pertaining to fasting in the month of Ramadan was revealed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and because of time, I'm just giving you the ayah, the surah, and the meaning in English. Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah number 185. Therefore, whoever of you is present in that month should fast. There is no exception, so there are exceptions to who should fast and when you should fast and when you should not fast. And we are all aware of these conditions. Once we are present, we are healthy. We are in a good state of mind. We are not insane or unconscious. We must fast. It is not like if you wake up in the morning, you have a slight little headache, or I can't fast today. No. That is not an excuse to not fast. Siyam literally means to restrain or to abstain from something. As a term in the Sharia, it means to abstain from food, drink, and spousal relations from dawn to sundown, with the purest of intentions for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fasting in the month of Ramadan is one of the five pillars of Islam and a very special mode of worship. And we will ask, some of us will ask, why is it so special? If you look at any other worship, Allah orders you to do something. In fasting, you are ordered not to do something for a specific period of time. Not to eat, not to drink, not to have relations with our spouses during the period from dawn to sunset. We are prohibited from having or doing these things during the course of the day. Something which you are accustomed to do and allowed to do otherwise. Fasting has been ordained upon every sane, mature, and adult Muslim who is able to fast. What is the objective of fasting, my dear brothers? As the ayah of Surah Al-Baqarah tells us, that this is to attain taqwa, to attain God consciousness. And last week, at one of the other masajid, you know, although we were in lockdown, although we were playing it safe with COVID, most of us, I still maintained going out to the community and delivering khutbas at the various masajid. And last week I did a khutbah at 95th Street and 95th Avenue and 102nd Street. And the topic of the khutbah was, what is taqwa? Because Allah wants us to attain this taqwa. And taqwa is God consciousness. To be conscious that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alive. I want to use the word alive. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is present. Even though we cannot see Him, but in our hearts we know He sees us. Whatever we do, even if we go in the darkest of places, remember that Allah sees us. So the purpose of fasting is for us to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To have fear. Taqwa means to have fear. To have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sometimes we ask ourselves, then how can we fear the one who has created us? We fear him out of love for him. For when he obeys, when he commands us to do something, and he commands us to be, or he prohibits us from not doing certain things, that we obey him. We obey his commands and we stay away from the prohibitions. But when we get tempted to do the prohibition, that there must be fear in our hearts. It is like a parent and a child. A parent will tell a child, this book or this bottle of water, do not remove it from the position that it is in. But out of curiosity, the child wants to know why the parent is telling me, do not do this and do not do that. And out of this curiosity, we do it. And when we do it, we pay the consequences. So we have fear next time that when our parents tell us, do not do X, Y, and Z, we know the circumstances, we know what the results will be. Likewise, when our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He commands us to do something, race to do it. Grasp every moment of doing it for His pleasure. But when He tells us to stay away from things, stay far away from it. Because we know what the result will be. And the result will be His punishment. And His punishment is severe. So if we want to attain Jannah, if we want to attain the paradise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for us, as we welcome the month of Ramadan, we welcome the month of Ramadan with a heart that is full of love and compassion, a heart that is contented with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, a heart that has no animosity and has no grievances. And let us reach out to one another in these last days of the month of Shaban. Let us reach out to one another and make amends. Ask one another for forgiveness. In whatever way that we think that we may have offended one another, we may have said something, we may have called one another names or whatever. Whatever it is, let us reach out to one another and say, brother, please forgive me if I may have said or done anything that would have upset you. But there must be some sense of sincerity. There must be some sense of ikhlas. So that when the month of Ramadan approaches us, and by Allah's permission, we are granted that opportunity to witness another Ramadan, we will be entering into it with hope. We will be entering it with a sense of feeling that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is certainly giving us the opportunity to earn His pleasure. Basically, the word taqwa, among its other meanings of God consciousness, piety, and righteousness, it also means to save and protect oneself from things that harm. So we have to save and protect ourselves from things that harms us. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, in Surah number 66, ayah number 6, O you who believe, save yourselves and your families from a fire whose fuel is men and stones. Imagine this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us to save ourselves and our families. You know, during the lockdown, Allah has given us the opportunity to stay connected with our families. A time that we got so close to one another. A time that when we were not praying together before COVID gave us this opportunity to recreate that bond of love and harmony. I hope each and every one of us have fulfilled our heart's desire with that sense of companionship that Allah has given us to be with our families, to have dinner together, to pray together. And you know, there is an old saying. It is not an Islamic saying, but it is a widely general statement that you and I should pay attention to. A family that prays together stays together. And Allah gave us this opportunity through COVID to be able to pray together so that we can stay together. There were not too many disputes because there was love and affection. We understood the severity of COVID, that Allah has given us this opportunity. Let us, my dear brothers and sisters, understand that fasting is a shield. It is a shield, it is a protection from the hellfire. Just like the shield of any one of us in a battle. It means that fasting guards us and protects us from sins and from the hellfire. Furthermore, our fasting and the Quran, and I want you to pay attention to this, our fasting for the pleasure of Allah and the utilization of the Quran, meaning the reading of the Quran every day in our lives, will intercede for us on the Day of Judgment. The Quran and our fast will intercede for us on the day of Yawmul Qiyamah. For the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I will close with this inshallah, he said, the fast, the siyam, and the tilawat al-Quran, the Quran, the recitation of Quran, shall come as intercessors on the day of resurrection. The fast will say, oh my Lord, I prevented him from his food and drink during the day, so let me intercede for him. The fast that we fast in the month of Ramadan will intercede for us. It will ask Allah's permission to intercede for us, because that fast allowed us to stay away from what Allah has prohibited us from staying away from. And the Quran will say, I kept him from sleep during the night, so let me intercede for him. Then they will be allowed to intercede. And then they will be allowed to be intercessors. This is the value and the power of the fast and the Quran. We do not understand the power and the value of these two things. Hopefully, inshallah, we will be able to get the understanding of these two things that Allah has blessed us with. Let us, brothers, know that man is a combination of body and spirit. And during our fasting, when our physical body apparently gets weak, because after a period of time and not being able to nourish and satisfy the physical feeling, it becomes weak. But our spirit, our ruh, is elevated. And the best and greatest of zikr is the recitation of Quran. We are all aware that we are often unjust to ourselves, in the sense that we often subject our bodies and souls to excesses. Fasting in Ramadan is an excellent opportunity to attain physical and spiritual healing. And I close where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in ayah number 160 of Surah Al-An'am, he says, whoever comes with a good deed will have 10 times as much. Whoever comes with one good deed will have 10 times as much. So let us, my dear brothers and sisters, pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us the opportunity to witness the month of Ramadan. Let us pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow us the opportunity to fulfill our obligation towards Him in observing the fast. May Allah bless us. May Allah guide us. May Allah protect us. May Allah have mercy upon us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive the souls of our loved ones who have returned unto Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant shifa and healing to all of our families and members of our communities who are either in the homes or in the hospitals with some kind of ailment. May Allah grant unto them shifa. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them a speedy recovery, inshallah. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us, guide us and protect us and have mercy upon us. Barakallahu lana wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Azim wa nafana wa yati wa zikri al-Hakim innahu ta'ala jawadun karimun malikum baru rawufur rahim.